You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 minutes till 11 AM here on this Tuesday, March 26th, as it is time for our Valley Talk program. And joining me today is Randy Bergquist, the Crookston School Superintendent. And Randy, good morning. How are you doing today?
Tyler, good morning. I'm doing very well this morning on this very nice spring day that we're having outside.
Yeah. It's we've turned the clocks back to winter once again.
Yes, so. We have. At least we didn't get hit as hard as they did down in southern part of us. So that's good news.
Yeah. It definitely could have been a lot worse. And busy night last night for you guys at the school board meeting. But let's start with talking about some coaches. There were some hockey coaches that resigned, but also spring coaches getting approved too.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had three resignations. We had Emily Meyer, head girls hockey coach. We had Stacy Olson and Amanda Lean all resign as hockey coaches. And I want to sincerely thank them for the time, the energy and the effort and just being great coaches to our students. And I want to thank them for helping us out. And we wish them luck in their future endeavors. I know they got some plans moving forward with different things that they're going to do, and we just want to wish them good luck. And, of course, every season we have the school board approves the list of coaches, whether it's fall, winter, or spring. And so, you know, the spring coaches were approved, and hopefully we'll start getting out pretty soon. You know, we've had practices already inside, and I was hoping that, you know, for example, baseball and softball games and track were supposed to be outside pretty soon, but we'll see how that goes. You know, a lot of times in the spring, unfortunately, sports gets dictated by the weather. So a lot of times things get canceled. And for example, then you have double headers and students leave early from school to get out to go to attend those events. And that's probably going to happen again this spring, like every other spring we have. So, but, you know, coaches put a lot of time and effort in all their sports, whether it's sports or extracurricular activities like speech, theater, anything like that. So thank all the coaches for the extra time that they put in.
And is there a timeline for filling the hockey resignations and trying to, you know, find a new coach?
You know, we're going to get started on that right away. Our activities director, Mr. Labarski, is at the activities director conference, conference in St. Cloud this week. So I assume that we'll get that posted internally and externally sometime early next week.
All right. And well, let's stick with the play talk as it's playground discussion with the Highland School.
Yeah, so we built into our budget approximately $400,000. I didn't realize how much playgrounds cost. Playgrounds are very expensive. And we have been working with some other entities to ensure that we have a playground that's accessible for all our students, no matter who they are, where they come from. We want to make sure that we have something available to students so all students can get on the playground and play. So we've been working and making sure that we have OT and PT services of some sort on our playground. We're actually working with Riverview. Caitlin Michno, I think is how you say it, and she does a really nice job. So we actually have a grant meeting coming up this week to see if we can get some grants to help offset the cost. We've been working with three companies to try to get the best bang for our buck because obviously we want the best playground we can for our students, but we have to be also mindful of the cost. So we're looking at hopefully having a playground ready to go by September 1st at the latest at Highland. So we're really excited. More information to come on that. We're looking at having some community input and some meetings with some educational stakeholders in the near future. But we're going to hopefully raise enough money to help have the best playground around possible.
How important is it to have, you know, as you mentioned, the best playground around possible, but just having an updated playground as a whole?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's awesome to have an upgraded playground. You know, I come from the days when playgrounds, you know, they probably weren't the most sturdy things, you know, and as a bigger guy like I am, you get on the swing set, you'd be lucky if the swing didn't break. Now we need to make sure that we have upgraded facilities for all students, and that's very important to me, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. And especially being able to keep kids active too.
Absolutely, you got to keep kids active. I mean, you know, kids need to get rid of some of their energy, and you know, when they have playtime or you know recess, it's important that they get out there and experience the outdoors.
Yeah, so should be an exciting thing there. And again, you said you were hoping to raise money to help fund this.
Yeah, we did put in our budget, but we'd like to raise money to see if we can get some, you know, entities, businesses, individuals to help donate, because this is a very important thing, and I think it's the right thing to do to get this playground up and running for all of our students. So anybody interested in helping with that would be greatly appreciated. By not only me, but everybody else involved in this process.
Is there a timeline?
Well, no, there's not really a timeline. The timeline itself is that we want a playground by September 1st. So we're going to get a playground whether we raise enough money or not. We are getting a playground. We made a commitment. The school board has made a commitment to that playground as well. You know, I know that we're working with it. We haven't narrowed it down to which playground we have, but we have a lot of individuals looking at the specs of the playground and making sure that it's all inclusive.
Well, let's take our focus across the pond as the 2026 Europe trip was approved.
Yes, absolutely. So Mrs. Tomford takes a group of students, and the school board always approves trips. They've done it in the past. I know with COVID, a lot of trips were canceled and so forth, but this is a great opportunity for students. And I wholeheartedly think this is a great, great thing for our students. When I was a junior and senior in high school, I was one of those guys that sold candy bars and raised money so I could go with my Spanish class to Mexico. And it was a great opportunity. It was so much fun. It was a lifelong learning opportunity that to this day I still remember. Unfortunate thing, I probably ate more candy bars than I sold, but that's just the way the ball bounces. So, yeah, I'm excited for the kids, and it's going to be a trip of a lifetime for them.
Where are they planning on going in Europe?
Right now, I know, you know, just some of the countries of France, Germany. I believe they're going to Switzerland as well, too. So it should be interesting. No matter where they go, it's gonna be some great memories for them.
And again, the significance of having a trip like this, what is it?
Well, I tell you what, I'm old and I've never been to Europe. So I think it's the significance of this trip is that the students are going to learn. It's not just a trip and go, hey, we're going to have fun. But they're going to have some learning opportunities. You know, maybe they're going to see, you know, Paris. Maybe they're going to be able to see historical things. They're going to work together. They're going to be with their friends. They're going to make connections with other students. It's something that these kids are never going to forget. And again, I have experience. I haven't been to Europe, but I was to Mexico. And it was just something I'll never forget. I still have the pictures from the trip. So it'll be a great thing for the kids, and I appreciate Mrs. Tom for doing this, because it's a lot of work planning a trip. So thank you for her and the kids for doing it.
Yeah, what goes into planning a trip like this, like the whole process, whether it's picking out the place and then after it gets approved, then what's next?
Well, after it gets approved, I assume that she'll work with a company that specializes in student trips. excuse me, Tyler. So that's what she'll do. I mean, you have to make sure that you have the transportation requirements, the airport requirements. Jeez, Tyler, I do that every time I talk to you. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
so there's, you know, you've got trains and you've got planes and automobiles. Yep. So there's a lot of that goes into this.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning. And of course, especially with going into different countries too, that's got to be, quite a challenge to go from, you know, okay, we're going to be here for a couple of days, then we're going to be here for a couple of days, and then we're going to be here for a couple of days. And that's got to be a lot on the people who's planning this trip.
Absolutely. And, you know, safety and security are utmost importance. And it's not just a fun and games for the supervisor, but they're watching everything. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's going to be it's going to be fun. And again, that's coming up in 2026 for the Europe trip getting approved. And well, that's not where things stopped. It was, like we said at the top, a very busy night for you guys. There was the first reading of policy changes, too.
Yeah, correct. So the Minnesota School Boards Association sends out these policy updates quite frequently. And so we did the first reading of policy 413, harassment, violence, 416, drug, alcohol, and cannabis testing, 506, student discipline, 507, corporal punishment and prone restraining, and policy 515, protection and privacy of pupil records. It always have to have a second reading in order to go into effect, but the board decided to take policy 522, Title IX sex non-discrimination policy. They pulled that one out and had a first reading and adopted that policy because there's been some updates And we're a little bit behind on updating our policies. I think the last one was 2020 on this one. And, you know, a legislature, when they, the legislative branch, when they make the bills and the governor signs them and so forth, that's when policies get changed. You know, we had a policy committee meeting last week. Policies are anywhere from 4 to 30 pages each policy. So you go through it, and granted, MSBA says, yeah, school districts, we think this is what it should say. But we want to tailor it to our school in Crookston here, and sometimes it might be only a change of a couple words here and a couple words there. So this is just something that's standard. You know, when we get changes from MSBA, we have to do it, and unfortunately, a couple of these policies were quite outdated, so we thought, let's just get it done right now.
So in the layman's terms, what are some of these policy changes or the policies that you read last night?
Well, it's basically student discipline, student harassment. It's, you know, they give updates on what we can and cannot do with students, what we or should or shouldn't do with students. Talks about harassment and violence with students and staff. Talks about student discipline, corporal punishment. You know, you can't go punch a kid down the hallway and everything else. Prone restraining. There's been a lot on the SRO, the school resource officer, discussion. So the prone restraining is somewhat, you know, hot topic across the state. We also have drug, alcohol, and cannabis testing. You know, cannabis was added to that because of the different things that the state has passed regarding that. So it's all things that deal with students, staff, and school. These types of policies from last night.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a lot of, you know, discipline. And we've heard, as you mentioned, with the school resource officer, and there's been a lot of, you know, changes in the last really couple of years as to what a school resource officer can do. And then also making sure that the discipline is adequate, and it's not too far, or it's not, you know, not enough, and making sure that all the discipline is fair.
Correct. We want to make sure that we don't discipline certain kids one way and other kids another way. That's just, you know, it's a checks and balances system. I guess, you know, the days of grabbing a kid and throwing, throwing him up against the locker, you can't do that anymore. So, you know, there's protections for students, there's protections for staff. So, you know, we have to update these policies and we have to follow them, plain and simple.
How important is it when punishment is involved, you go back to what a precedent has been set? Is that, has the school board recognized, you know, hey, if a precedent has been set, is there something like that? Or
Well, you know, these policies change so often that a precedent might have been set, but then guess what? That precedent might have to be broken because of different policies that come out. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, this kid did this, just kick him out of school. Well, you can't do that. You can't just say, you know something, kid, we think you did this or you did that. We're just going to kick you out of school. There's a due process for all students, just like there's due process for staff. So, you know, we have to follow the policy. If we don't follow policies, like, quite honestly, schools can get in trouble if they don't follow policies. Same thing with students and staff. They have to make sure that they follow the policies as well.
How important is due process?
Well, we live in a free country. You know, due process is important, whether you're a student, whether you're a staff member, whatever it might be, because, you know, that's one of the reasons why we have fought wars in the military, is because we want to keep our freedom. And, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. Some people may or may not like that, but we have to make sure that we follow that process. Otherwise, quite honestly, we can get in trouble as a school district if we don't follow that process. Sometimes when superintendents or administration makes decisions, people aren't going to like it. But guess what? Some of these decisions are based on policies and procedures that our school district has to follow. Otherwise, we get in trouble because we're not following those policies and procedures.
And is that why, you know, these policies are read so often and adapted as well?
Yeah, because, you know, education is very political, in my opinion. It's very political. And, you know, policies and procedures could change at the drop of a dime, really. You know, they just updated the school resource officer policy a week ago, you know, across the state. But yeah, that's why they're adopted and they are looked at. I mean, there's just tons of policies. I don't know how many exactly MSBA has out there, but there are tons of policies that we have to follow. Otherwise, we're in jeopardy of, we're liable for not following the policies established by the state.
And at the end of the day, it's all about making sure that it's the best environment for the kids.
Absolutely. It's the best environment for the kids. And hopefully it's going to be the safest environment for the kids, knowing full well that we have all students are welcome to come to school. And we have to make sure that we can educate all students best we can.
Yeah, so interesting stuff there, and we still have a couple minutes left, and there were still a lot of topics discussed last night.
Yes,
we
sure was.
We could go on and on and on.
Yeah, Tyler, we could talk for another hour or so. That'd be
yeah.
fun.
Yeah, probably. Where would you like to go next?
Well, we have a couple minutes left. We have a finance committee meeting coming up with the finance committee meeting, and that's open to the public, and that would be next Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We'll have that advertised, of course. We did have the superintendent evaluation in a closed session at 4 o'clock yesterday, that was discussed. So I prefer to believe in a growth mindset as opposed to a fixed mindset. Growth mindset is, you know, you receive feedback, constructive criticism. Some people don't like to hear that, but it's about getting better as a superintendent or whatever position you're in, and just trying to do the best you can for all students. You know, I might not always make the right decision. People might say, well, geez, Berkowitz, that was a dumb decision. But I try to make decisions what's best for kids. That's the bottom line for me. Is everybody going to always agree with me? No, but that's my main focus. We also, let me see what else we had. Oh, we had the May school board meeting was scheduled for Monday, May 27th. That's Memorial Day, of course. So we moved that meeting up to May 20th, Monday, May 20th, regular time of 5 o'clock. And last but not least, I don't know how much time we have left, Tyler, but I really have to give credit to the community again. And I know I do this every single month, but we had a number of donations and grants, and we really appreciate that. And I want to give a real credit out there to the CYBA. I was fortunate to be able to help ref this weekend, did a number of games at the hockey arena, and gosh, I had a really good time doing that. My knee's a little sore. But, you know, I really enjoyed it. I think it was great for the kids, but it was also great for the community. We had a number of schools, I mean, towns that brought forth kids that came to Crookston. You know, they had to buy things, so it was great. I'm sure it was great for the businesses and the economy. And, you know, the CYBA crew, whoever all was involved, did a really nice job, and it was a really well-run tournament. I've been around tournaments for 20 plus years, and I thought it was a great, great thing that they did. And I really enjoyed reffing. I got to see a couple of Crookston teams, which was nice. But I really have a lot of credit for that group. I also want to put a little plug in there, Tyler. I want to put a little plug to Dwayne Anderson and Dave Anderson. You know, there are a couple individuals, gentlemen, that help supervise our games, our athletic events, and they helped out again the CYBA tournament. But they've been very active in helping out with just being at our activities. And so Dave and Dwayne, we really appreciate your help. If I know you're listening out there, because I've been told many times, Dwayne, that you're listening. So thank you for all your help on that. Otherwise, you know, we have a little break this weekend, and I really hope the families and students get some quality family time. Take a break, rest, and spend time with your family this weekend.
And that's exactly what a break should be.
Absolutely, Tyler.
One last thing, the feature presentation from last night, that was a fun one, wasn't
it? Oh my gosh, Knowledge Bowl is so much fun. I know that there was two school board groups and then a student group, and I can't remember who exactly won, but I'll just say it was our group, Tyler.
Okay.
My brain might be a little fuzzy on that, but I think it was our group. Not for sure, but gosh, what a great thing the Knowledge Bowl was. I know I've been part of Knowledge Bowl years past when I was a principal, and, you know, it was, Stegman did a really nice job, and the kids did a really nice job. It was fun.
So walk us through what took place with the Knowledge Bowl last night.
Yes, we had three groups. It was one board group and myself, one board group, and then about, I think there was maybe six, seven students. Ms. Stegman asked 15 questions, and you have this little green strip, and you're supposed to hit the green strip, and then you have so many seconds to answer the question, and it was great. I think our group, maybe Tyler, got 11 out of 15 questions, just saying, but my brain might be a little fuzzy on that one. So
yeah, we won't press you too much on that, but it's always great to see the knowledgeable kids and just the kids in general show up to these events and kind of have a little feature presentation, and it's nice to see a little bit of a twist to the way how the school board meeting would go.
Absolutely. Last month we had FFA, did a great job. This month we had Knowledge Bowl. I like the feature presentation, and I liked it, the fact the students are getting involved in extracurricular activities, whatever that might be, and are willing to showcase their event at the school board meeting. So thank you to the FFA last month and to Knowledge Bowl this month.
Well, I think we covered everything. And again, that May school board meeting getting pushed up from the 27th to the 20th.
Correct.
But, end of April, it's still on go, right?
Yep, still on go. So put me down for the Tuesday in April and the Tuesday, May 21st. Looking forward to it, Tyler. I appreciate the opportunity again to talk about what's going on in school.
Well, Randy, thank you very much for joining us once again on our Valley Talk program. Look forward to speaking with you at the end of April.
Sounds good, Tyler. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, as that was Randy Bergquist, the Crookston School Superintendent, on today's Valley Talk program.